720 WGN. It is 419 today. Outside of the Trump trial, a man set himself on fire. He is in critical condition. I'm honestly, after seeing some of the video, and I didn't pay that closely attention because it's too brutal, but I'm surprised he is alive. We initially had Karen Conti on to talk about the jury being seated and the Trump trial. You know her from Conti Dolan, our legal eagle. Karen, how does this affect the trial? Does it have any impact?
Well, I don't know that we have connected the dots that this guy was protesting Donald Trump's being on trial or not. I know that he submitted some propaganda, threw it on the ground before he did what he did. But I think this just goes to the whole idea that so much here is at stake, and we're asking citizens who go about their daily lives with their families and their jobs to ask them to do something momentous. And, you know, can you imagine, like, just, you know, if your friends know that you're on the Donald Trump jury, half of them are saying you better, you better convict him. And the other half are saying, no, not only should you acquit him, but we want him to be the leader of the free world. So, you know, this is putting a lot of pressure on some ordinary people that I think it's going to make them break. And I'm worried that we don't have enough alternate jurors to sustain a 6 to 8 week trial here.
Well, and they already released the profiles, like what they read, what they do for a living. How long before a good journalist figures out, or the juror's friends go, oh, yeah, I know that person. I went to school with her. She's on the trial. I mean, their identities are kind of hard to keep secret.
I think it's going to be very, very hard, and I think we're going to have leakage here. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, serving on a jury is one of the only things our government requires us to do besides pay taxes and hopefully never, but serve in the military if we have to. But I just don't see how an average person is going to sustain this. I think we had a juror yesterday who was chosen, and then she came into court crying and in tears saying, I can't do this. I just can't go through all of this stress and pressure. It's a lot of pressure. And, you know, I'm just worried that we're going to get to a point where there's going to be fewer than 12 jurors.
Right, right. And do you think the judge will sequester the jury?
He hasn't said that he's going to do that. And I think he would have told them by now that you should bring your toothbrush to court on Monday. But I think that he has that tool in his toolbox. And if he sees that the jurors are being tampered with or they're being harassed or followed home, then he might just have to do that. And nobody likes that, especially for a 6 to 8 week trial.
Right. And the hearing that the judge was conducting today, tell me about that.
Yeah, it's called a Sandoval hearing, and that's different in New York than it would be in Illinois. But this is interesting. So if Donald Trump is going to testify, and it's not decided if he is going to yet, the question is, what bad acts can the prosecutors cross-examine him with? Like, for instance, can they say, well, you're not telling the truth because you lied about raping Jean Carroll and you were assessed a multi-million-dollar verdict, or you were there was a verdict against you for hundreds of millions of dollars for inflating the values of your properties in New York. Can the prosecution use those bad acts against him to affect his credibility on the stand? So that's a really interesting question, because depending on upon those rulings, Trump may not choose to get on the stand because he could be made mincemeat with all of those types of allegations. Now, I'm not saying all of them would come in, and I'm not sure that all the jurors don't know about them, but it certainly could affect his credibility if they do.
Will the jurors, once this trial is over and the verdict has been delivered, will they, if they want, be able to write a book about everything they've witnessed?
Sure they can. That's their First Amendment right. And maybe that's what some of them are planning on doing. And maybe some of them actually want to get on a jury to do that. And we've seen that in high-profile trials where jurors have, you know, told little fibs to get on the jury and have kept really copious notes in their journals so that they can write that book.
Right. So they can take notes. It's been a long time since I've been on a jury, but they can bring a pen and piece of paper in or a notepad and take notes throughout the entire trial.
Yeah, it's different from trial to trial, state to state, even county to county. But my guess is that they will be given standard notebooks and that they will not get to bring them home. They will get to have to surrender them each day, and they get to keep them. And, of course, they can't share any of the information with any of the other jurors or talk to them about anything that's going on until the deliberations begin.
Karen Conte is joining us. We're talking about the Trump trial. So what happens next? Opening statements, or what happens on Monday?
Opening statements are scheduled. My guess is there are going to be a flurry of motions, maybe from both sides, during the weekend, and the judge might have to postpone them for a few hours while he sorts through these motions. You know, everyone's bringing every possible motion they can, not only to try to gain advantage, but to set it up for an appeal. So if the judge makes a mistake, there might be grounds for an appeal. And the opening statements are going to be interesting because they're statements and not arguments. Sometimes people call them opening arguments, but they're not. They're a statement of what the evidence is supposed to show. And the prosecution is going to set forth in a very mechanical way, here's what happened and here's why it was a violation of the law and here's why the money was given to Stormy Daniels and here's why Cohen paid that money and this is why it was misclassified and here's why it is a crime. And, of course, Donald Trump's lawyers are going to get up and say things like, well, Mr. Trump is a very important person. He's got professionals who tell him what to do. He has lawyers. He has a cadre of accountants and financial advisors, and he relied on their expert advice to do what he did, and he is guilty of no crime. And so you're going to hear those statements, and much of the case can be won or lost on the opening statements. I've read that 80% of all cases are actually decided on the opening statements.
Wow. I had no idea. Yes. Because there doesn't have to be an ounce of truth, so to speak. I mean, the picture can be painted without all the details on the opening statement.
True. You're not supposed to do anything that's not supported by the facts. But lawyers, as you know, will spin things a little bit. But, you know, basically, I think this case has won or lost on the jury selection. I mean, there is just no way that people don't have a really strong opinion about Donald Trump. And I just have a hard time believing that a juror can put aside all of those prejudices and vote on the facts. The jury will try to do that. And I respect and admire jurors because they're the best people in the world. They're going to really try hard. But imagine how hard it would be for anybody to do that.
And it only takes one person to prevent any kind of conviction, right?
Yes, that would be a hung jury, but the solution is not that he walks. It would be a retrial, and you can bet the prosecution would retry him.
Yes. All right. Thank you for checking in. I know your schedule is busy. And once again, tell people where they can either see you read excerpts from your book or where they can get your book.
Yes, my book, Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, is available on Amazon and Walmart Books a Million. And I hope you read it. And if you like it, send me an email at hello@KarenConte.com.
That is Karen Conte.
Hey, if you don't like it, tell them you read a John Grisham book.
Nice line. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too, Lisa.
That is Karen Conte, Conte & Dolan Law Firm here in Chicago. Lauren has your news coming up on 720 WGN. Lisa Dent, WGN.